I heard a story today when I was, I commute. So one of the, there's not many advantages, but one of the few, one you can listen to Shiurim sometimes. It was very nice. I never knew that. Rabbi Avadia Yosef, yeah? So I heard a Hespon, Rabbi Avadia Yosef. You're going to ask me why Hespon, Rabbi Avadia
Yosef? Why did you say Avadia Yosef? Is your friend?
No, what do you mean?
You said Avadia Yosef?
No, I didn't say Avadia Yosef. Rabbi Avadia Yosef.
Ah, okay.
Of course. Chas v'shalom, chas. Don't worry. No. So I heard. Tell me if it's true or not. The story about the glasses. Tell me if it's true or not. So what I heard today was that you notice that he always had sunglasses, dark, very dark. So the story goes. What I heard today from Pshag Kalas, he said. I don't know if it's. So he said like this. He said that during the war in Lebanon. What year was that? Listen, what year was the war in Lebanon? 79 or 82? We've got machloikas now.
82.
Probably both, I suppose. When?
It's ongoing.
82 or 7? No, when was the milchamat? Come on, you don't know when was the milchamat Lebanon? 79 or 82? We've got a machloikas. Okay. Two wars. So there was apparently, so I heard today, it was 1,000, after the war in Nebuch, there was 1,000 agunas. 1,000 agunas. Less than that? Okay, that's the figure that he said. I went back 20 seconds just to hear again. That's the figure that I heard. It sounds to me also quite extraordinary, but there was for sure many agunas, okay? Don't take the point is not the amount. It was a lot of agunas, which you need. And they went in front of Rav Avadia, yeah, just to make that Hagon, who was really Gon Adir, incredible Gon. So apparently he had the biggest library, you know that, yeah, 35,000 Sfarim. Yachid Bedoyer. Yeah, he had 35,000 Sfarim in his, which was apparently the biggest Otzer, 35,000. And the Chiddush is that every single sefer that he had, he knew. It's one thing to have 35,000 Sfarim, but it's quite another to know that. So, well, he did. So there was all these agunas, Nebuch, all these agunas shailas. He couldn't be matir. Some of them were quite straightforward. Some of them he just wasn't able to matir. And he literally, his son said that he remembers his father crying through nights, in the night, crying bitter tears, trying to be allowing them to get remarried. And he just found it very, very difficult to find all these Ethereum, and he just couldn't find Ethereum, how to allow them to remarry. And he was crying, and the bitterness of the tears and the darkness, because in the middle of the night he was trying to check and swear him, and it ruined his eyes. So much so I heard today, Shabbat Kalas, listen to it yourself. So much so that he became legally blind. He literally damaged his eyes so much that he was actually blinded by this overly exertion of his eyes. And apparently, Hadassah, Avadia's son said, he was in Hadassah hospital, considered him blind, legally blind. He wasn't able to function, though, as a blind. He obviously wasn't able to function like this, as a rov, as a gon, as a posik. It's very hard to function. Although he knew so much by heart, but he still wasn't able to function. So he went to the caver of the Bet Yosef, who he was loichem for his covered, and he was always miyashiv the kashas and the stiras and everything. The Maran Bet Yosef. That's what he thought. He went to and he cried by his caver. He said, "In order to be marbit Torah, I've got to have my eyesight back." And one of the eyes side returned. One of the eyes had returned. He had always damaged eyes since then, and he was never operating quite as well. But some of the eyesight, some of his visual returned. So I thought that's quite an incredible story. Rabbi Saib, today we are going to be. Yeah, the story makes sense.
He said on the cover. He said if he help him to see, he will spread his.
Spread his
alachot. So
right.
That's why since then he was. The only
thing
he did is alachot.
Alachot, right. There you go. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Pardon? The why the glasses? Because I suppose he was still damaged and I suppose he helped him. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Said, we have discussed extensively last night the two reasons why Chachamim established the Rashba and the Rosh, why we've got to wash hands in the morning for what's the background, why we make the bracha of Antil HaSudaim. Today we're going to, it's Seif Gimel, Seif Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch goes, taking a little bit of a break of this Machlokes Rosh and Rashbo, he's taking a little bit of a break, and he goes to a slightly different topic, not that far, but a slightly different. So Seif Gimel, Seif Dalet should be seen as a diversion. Why are you turning black when you hear the word diversion? Yeah, a slight diversion. We're moving away from Seif Gimel, Seif Dalet is going to be talking about the topic of Ruach Ra, and then we're going to return to Machlokes Rosh and Rashbo at a later Seif again. But now, we're going to be hearing now a little bit about this Ruach Ra, and what does that exactly mean? We'll be going back to Ruach Ra at a later stage again, but for tonight, Seif Gimel, Seif Dalet are going to be talking about Ruach Ra. So I've always said, just to get there, we're on top of page 16, and we're going to be learning the end of Seif Aleph, Seif Beis, Seif Gimel, Seif Dalet tonight, Amid Hashem. Okay, so I'm top of page 16. That's the second part of Seif Aleph. So Ma'im Absurim Netilas Yudaim Nisuda Ksheirim Netilas Yudaim Letfila. Water which you these specific halachas discussed in Siman Kuf Samach. What water may you use for Netilas Yudaim? For washing hands, for which water qualifies, which water does not qualify for washing for a motzi. So he says, any water that is okay to wash hands for a motzi for, ksherim letilas yadayim letefillah, is also okay for our discussion over here. So the water that is fine there is fine here as well. Excuse me. Thank you so much. Thank you for correcting. The water which is fine there, of course, is fine here as well. The Chiddush Shulchan Aruch is saying, the water which is no good, they strict halachas about what disqualifies the water. The water which is disqualified, which is discussed in Kuf Samach, will get the Emet Shem again one day, Emet Shem. So whatever disqualified from washing for Moitzi is still okay to wash for Tefillah. In other words, the more lenient, the requirements for washing hands, for tefillah, is more lenient. Some say you don't make a bracha on Tilas Yadayim. I suppose that discussion is to be discussed in greater detail in Siman Kuf Samach. But for now, say base. Gidaktik laros alein ma'im sholosh po'omim lahaviru ha'rosh shoyer alein. Okay, we're entering now the domain. We're now entering the domain, the area of halacha of Ruach Ra. Now, it is very hard to have clarity in this because it's so mystical and it's so hard to get a clarity in it. It's hard, but one of the things that we're learning, that there is Ruach Ra, which goes on that. So besides the Rosh and the Rashba, there's another, as we've discussed previously, there's another whole thing about Ruach Ra. There is bad Ruach Ra, I'm not sure what the right word is.
Atmosphere.
Yeah, atmosphere perhaps is better. It's something... spirits, I'm not sure, which goes on a hand,
but
pardon?
Bad vibe.
Vibe, yeah. It has something to do...
Nails?
Yeah, the nails, we're going to get to the nails, absolutely, we'll get to the nails. Yeah, but it's also something about the hands. How it comes upon the hands, I don't know. When exactly it comes to the hand, not quite sure. But it's something about, in the morning, there's Ruach Ra on the hand, which seems to be quite a serious thing. This is not Kabbalah, this is the Halacha. The thing is that there's other things which also cause Ruach Ra, and that will be discussed this week. Still, we'll get to other things which cause Ruach Ra on the hands as well. But one of them is the impurity of. Exactly. Because we are just, to some extent, we're considered. Exactly. I imagine it has to do with that Ruach Ra is a level Tumah, and that Tumah is we get to that Tumah because there's some death in the pardon?
Is sleep related rather than night related?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, and we'll bring evidence to that. So now, in order to remove that, and that's a really important point, in order to remove the Ruach Ra, Shulchan Aruch says, Yedaktik laros alein ma'im sholosh po'omim. You can only remove the Ruach Ra by pouring 3 times on your hands. So, in other words, the Rosh and the Rashba also told you got to wash your hands in the morning. But they told you, for their own reasons, Be'achadosho, or Tefillah, whatever, how many times you have to wash your hands for the Rosh? What do you think? Once. According to the Rashba, how many times you have to pour water off your hands? According to the Rashba?
Twice, is it?
No. Once. Once. Why three times? The only reason why you may want to wash three times is because of Ruach Ha. If it's because of what, but, you know, Ruach Ha is the only reason why you've got to wash three times. This is really important, Abba. I said there's so much confusion about this. Ruach Ha is, three times is a number which is only required to remove Ruach Ha. If it's about washing up, waking up in the morning, Be'er Chadosha, you do that once. If it's about preparing for Tefillah, you do that once. Okay, we'll get to that. But at this point, it's Ruach Ha. Now, I want to see Sifkot and Chesed Mishnebu, which is really important. Besides what we learned in Sifkot and Aleph, which was Torah and Drashba, Sorech Little Yadol Tefillah. Besides what we discussed in earlier, why you need to wash your hands in the morning. Besides that, Sorech Little Gam, you also need to wash your hands in the morning. Mishum Ruach Ha, for the purpose of removing the Ruach Ha Hashoye, which dwells. Resides on hands. And this is really important as well. But if you're washing your hands purely to remove Ruach Ra, do you not make a bracha? You don't. That's it. If you're washing hands just to remove the Ruach Ra, you would make a bracha on that. Therefore, you also need the reason of the Rosh and the Rashba in order to, the reason that you're going to make a bracha is going to be the Rosh and the Rashba. Rabbi said, how do you know that for Ruach Ra you don't make a bracha? Evidence? Exactly. There's plenty of other reasons why we need to wash hands. When do we need to wash hands for Ruach Ra? You mentioned, cutting nails. What else? Touching a mace. Well, there's plenty of other pubs. Cemetery, that's it. Exactly. All these, you walk out of the cemetery, you're going to be learning this halacha. You walk out of the cemetery, you have to wash your hands because of Ruach Ra. So, you don't need to make a bracha on that. You don't. You must make a bracha on that. So, Ruach Ra, to remove Ruach Ra, you don't make a bracha. Okay, yet, there is the Ruach Ra element in the morning as well. Loyiga. Now, based on that, there's more details on that. Sifkot and Tes, excuse me. Laro is Alain. Yes.
But when you go to cemetery, you don't say the bracha, but there's some other wording you say.
Correct.
Demela something?
That's right. Yeah. But that's nothing to do with Ruach Ra. But you're right, there's various halachas you got in terms of entering and leaving a Besachayim. Sifkot and Tes. Laro is Alain, to pour on your hands. V'yitlem lechatchilat perika zoya, until the wrist. So, in order to remove the Ruach Ra, you've got to be very careful to include in the washing Ad HaZoya, until the wrist. Now, that may or may not be the case according to the Rosh and Rash, but I don't know how much of your hands would you need to, according to the Rosh, according to the Rash, don't have much of that. But certainly in order to remove the Ruach Ra, you've got to cover, because the Ruach Ra covers the entire surface of the hands. And if you don't have water, diet kisha it's boys. If a person doesn't have enough water, he just does the fingers. Which is interesting, by the way. I have some trouble in understanding this halacha. So ideally, in order to remove the Ruach Ra, you got to wash until this. If you don't have enough water, you just do the fingers. Huh? What? So what's the obvious question? Pardon? Oh, yeah. So in line with very good, the boys can discuss that. Good. I'm going there. But what's the obvious question? Exactly. So one second. Until where's the Ruach Ra? Until where's the Ruach Ra? The Ruach Ra is until the end of it. Is until the wrist. Until the what? The Ruach Ra knows how much water I've got. How does that work? No, it's more, because you need to wash your own hands. Yeah? So I don't know how that works. And similarly, that's what you were saying, we know about the Tanesim, such as Yom Kippur, for instance, where washing is prohibited, you only do the fingers. So there, I could have understood that you're going to say that on Yom Kippur, the Ruach Ra is less. You can make a Torah, there's less Ruach on Yom Kippur. Yeah, perhaps you're going to say on that, whatever. So, but the reality of here we're learning, if there's not a lot of water, just do the fingertips, just do the fingers. How does that work?
It says,
yeah, I know, but b'dieved. So the Ruach Ra...
Obviously, the
Ikra
did it, only the fingers.
But I want to know, the Ruach Ra resides until... Why? Why do I need, if they're only on the fingers, why do I need to wash the entire surface of my hands?
The same reason that the Gaon says you wash four times.
No. That's a good reason for that. We'll discuss that. You mean because the water, the Ruach Ra is only in the fingers, but we are concerned that perhaps the Ruach Ra will spread through the washing of the hands. Perhaps. Okay. Let's carry on a bit. It says you should lift up your hands. When you wash your hands, you should lift up the palms of your hand as if you are trying to receive something. You should lift them up all the way to your head. You should also rinse your mouth. But don't rinse your mouth on a tanis tzibur. You need to wash your hands. But to remove the wacho, you wash them three times. Even if you wash a lot, you pour a lot of water, it doesn't help. So Ruach Ra is removed, not by the amount of water and the volume of water, but Ruach Ra is removed by having the three, what's the word? The three, what? The three pourings. Yeah, the three pourings. So that's what he says. The Ruach only disappears by having three pourings. This is really important again. You pour on your right hand, and after on your left hand. And you've got to do it in Siroigin, in what's that? Sequence, right, left, right, left, right, left. Okay. The Vilna Gaon writes, Abba Pa'amim. That's what you're mentioning. Abba Pa'amim four times. Not three times, but four times. Sholosh Pa'amim L'Aviruach Ra. You pull three times on your hands. V'Arevi'is. Why the fourth? Why the fourth? Exactly. L'Aviramayim Shenitmu, to remove the water which has been contaminated by the Ruach Ra. Mm-hmm. Women also must be careful. Women also have got Ruach Ra. They also got to wash their hands three times. What do you say in Sirugin? In sequences. Like men. Furthermore, because they touch food. I want to speak about this in a minute. They touch food. They've got to wash their hands anyway. But certainly, anybody who touches food has got to be very careful, because what happens to the Ruach Ra on the fingers, if a person doesn't wash and he touches food, it transfers, it's metame, the Ruach Ra contaminates the food that's being touched. Also, children must ensure to wash their hands, because they touch foods. When he gets akum, with regards to goyim, but with regards to goyim, we're touching food, you don't have to worry, to let me have the tumah, because they don't, goyim don't have the same tumah halachas in us, and therefore it's not relevant to them. So quite a lot of halachas. First of all, in order just to get the process right, so what you do, you need to he doesn't actually mention that, but by definition, you lift up the keli with your right hand, you pass it on to your left hand. The first pouring is on your right, left, right, left. You've got to do three times according to Vilna Gaon, four times in order to remove the water. And what's important to note is that it must be besiroigin. So people who do like this, and then, no good. Ruach Ra is still there.
Why is that?
So now, no, pardon? I don't know. Okay. It's metaphysical. I don't know. But don't try it out. but it seems not to work. It only works. Remove the Ruach Ra. And now it is interesting. I saw years ago, and I haven't had a chance to double check because I don't have the safer with me. But apparently, Bianca Kamenetsky found an opinion that holds that fakir. The Ruach Ra is only removed if you do it three times in each hand. So the opposite opinion. And therefore, he did both. Because he said, you know, I don't want to rest any Ruach Ra on my hands. And he did every morning. But I don't think that's accepted meaning at all. But you know, better safe than sorry, as they say. So that's what some people do. But what we see in Mishneh Berurah explicitly is you got to do it three times, and you do it in right, left, right, left.
So in a local rob, it was in a restaurant.
Good. I want to speak about that. I want to speak about her. I want to speak about her. I want to speak about her. Yeah, I want to speak about that. So I want to talk about women that self-understood. Okay, women, looks like Mishavu makes a point of it. So I don't know what it was like in 100 years ago. But women, we understand. They've got their own obligation. Anyway, Rosh Rashba, Ruach Ra. Okay, I'm fine with that. The problem is, Ketanim is also straightforward. Although there is an extensive discussion in the Poskim, what age exactly do you start Negelasim with the children? Interesting question. So what age? What age do you start Negelasim with the children? When they're born. Right. Rabbi Feingold, when they're born. Right. So I have a question on you. A lot of people do that. And a lot of people are makbet. And there's good Kabbalahs in that. But the question is really, if it is the newborn chai bechinuch? Obviously not. So if it's not chai bechinuch, so he's not a gel chinuch. So why should there be reason to wash hands? In other words, pardon? But why? How can it be ruach ra if it's not chai bechinuch? You're saying it's nothing to do with it. Okay, the sleep, right? The mitzvahs. Okay, so yeah, so a lot of people are makbet. I had an interesting experience that when my Shmuley was born, perhaps my Yossel and Etzel still. So the Moel who was a very 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 experienced Moel, Rabbi Mon, he's a shvogot of Osha Yelim. He was a Moel, and then he told me that he was a little bit yellow, a tiny tiny bit of yellow, and then he said, you know, I want to tell you, I've got a Mesoira. Got a Kabbalah from the stipler. He heard himself from the stipler gone. That if you want to remove yellow of a baby, the best thing you've got to do is to wash Negel Vassel. And he says, and that's what a Kabbalah. And the story goes that what?
It worked.
Now, well, had it worked without Negel Vassel? Could be. I can't tell. But that's for sure. For sure, it's a well known. Many people are makbid. Others who are not makbid straight away from newborns. What do they do? When is another kind of age? Certainly when children are 3 years old. Often then people start. Some people have. I saw in the Sfarim of the Shabbos that some people start washing Negel Vassel children when they start walking. Don't know what the connection is. Chaznish said once they touch. Pardon. You get it to the sink, yeah? That's very pragmatic, absolutely. Some say when they can start. Chaznish said that when they touch foods, when they're able to touch independently foods, well, I don't know what age that is. When they start, like, touching foods and, I suppose, feeding themselves, you're probably 1 year old, perhaps, yeah? So there is no clear cut, really rule to that. But the Mishnah does say that Ketanim, he says, should also wash their hands. Kinoigim b'maychel. I suppose that's the Chaznish, is very much in line with this. When they touch foods, they've got to ensure that to wash Negel Vassel. But it's Mishpachas, every family with his own minig. What is much more difficult, and there's really no solution to that, there doesn't seem to be any clear cut solution, is about the chilonim, the non-fumidin. And that is a real, real problem. It really is a problem. Because what we're learning explicitly now, this is ruach ra. We don't want to be exposed to ruach ra. You know, we don't want to be exposed to ruach ra. We all know, we don't know exactly what it means and how it works, but it's something which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, in Poskim. We don't want to be exposed to ruach ra. And we know that you've got to wash your hands in order to remove the ruach ra. Okay, we know that goyim are fine. Okay, but now we know that unfortunately the majority of Klal Yisrael is not fum. Unfortunately so. But surely they have ruach ra because they're Yidin, the Heilige Yidin. They've got ruach ra on their hands when they wake up. They don't remove it. They don't remove it because you can only remove it by what? So what happens when they touch food, which is ever so common? I would imagine that most foods that we have, which is not most foods, but all foods which is manufactured in Eretz Yisrael, go through hands of non-fum people. I mean, it's just reality. Never mind people living in Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about a waiter, yeah? Waitress, this food is touched by non-fum people.
You have to wash it 3 times.
That's a solution. Right. So you go and wash, it would work. Of course it would work. You're right. It works. It's an option. I don't think that's what people do.
But you leave with food, they can have gloves on.
Yeah, if they've got gloves, it probably helps.
You've got to wash their hands.
You've got to wash their hands? Corona, yeah? We don't, so we, the corona...
So you're saying they have washed their hands?
They have washed their hands. Yeah. If they wash their hands, they wash. So it's interesting because there is. We're going to be learning. It's an interesting approach. I didn't think of that. We are going to learn that, which is also interesting. Halacha. We're going to learn that. But the evet is mashmos that. But the evet, if you wash your hands only once, but the evet, you've sorted the wachah as well. Lechatchila not. But the evet, I don't know how that works. Again, I don't know how that works. Lechatchila, but the evet, wachah, no clue. But if we have such a mashmos in the Mishnah Berurah, then we probably have a bit of a, yeah, then, yeah.
Can you purify the hands on wood? On wood, on wood.
Yeah, so that works, not for racha, but that does work for other things. For dirtiness, for when it's for soiled hands, that would work. We're going to see that. There's other areas of halacha. We're going to get to that. But for racha, no. For racha, wiping your hand or scratching your hand or on any hard surface will not help for racha. Racha, we learned in Shulchan Aruch, Yidak Degar Yisalem, Sholosh Pamim, Lahan V'Racha. It's got to be through water. It's got to be water. Fine, so perhaps, but you have it once, but, you know, certainly needs water. So it remains a bit of a mystery. It remains a bit of a mystery. What are we going to do about it? So you think, every time you go to the Shuk Machane Yehuda and you buy garinim, you're gonna wash them three times? I don't know. You take apples from you're gonna wash them three times. You gotta wash them anyway, but I'm saying
the bakery,
very good example, yeah. Yeah, the bakery, yeah. I don't know how you're going to do it. So some of it is with gloves or something like that. It remains a bit of a question. It remains a bit of a question because it's something that is really hard to solve.
It's not only this problem because too much, what you got, dirty hand. It's also if his wife went to a mikveh.
No, that's not a problem. That would not contaminate. No, that would not. That's no wacho. That wouldn't go so far. No. That wouldn't go so far. Wacho of the night is much worse. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to summarize what we learned this evening. We learned that the water which is possible for Netilas Yadayim Lesu'uda may still be okay for Netilas Yadayim Shachis. We spoke about the Ruach Ra. Ruach Ra is to be removed by washing with water three times. We also learned that you got to wash it with the Sirugin three times. We spoke that the Vilna Gaon says don't do three but four because the water is contaminated. We said that women also obligated, children also go obligated. We spoke goyim don't have wacha, and we also touched on the halacha that you got to make sure to cover to wash your hands entirely. Okay, more on this fascinating halachas mishem tomorrow.